wake up the youth. So you want us to keep quiet, cause you want to keep treating them like fools, using them like tools. But let me tell you, we won't abandon our souls, no, sell it for your dollar bills. Cause more than money, we're seeking for wisdom, trying to improve our freedom. Hey, there is no insanity nursing in our bosom. Still, you wanna treat us like hoodlums. You're lying, you're cheating, you're killing. But we're still standing, shouting, protesting, resisting, fighting for our yearnings.
Ready to start. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the final hour. It's Travis, I'm your host. Thanks for joining us. Hope everybody's having a nice Friday, lining up a good weekend for yourselves. Trying to stay cool in this warm heat most of us are having. So last week we did I did my first show with y'all, and kind of want to recap that a little bit. Talked about some CBDCs, what's going on with that whole crazy mess. Talked about BlackRock's role in all this CBDC and the globalist governance. And we talked about just a bunch of general topics, but it was kind of my intro show. And what we're doing is we are starting each show reading from a book called The Ultimate World Order. And what I'm going to do is read about the first 15-20 minutes after the intro. And a friend of mine sent this to me, and he said it was a really good book I should take a look at. And, you know, when I decided to do this show, I decided, well, shoot, maybe I'll just read this book, because it's pretty pertinent to where we are today. And this book was written in 57, I believe, and you could find it on archive.org. It's going to be linked to the show description whenever that gets up, so you can find it there. But it's called The Ultimate World Order, and it was written by Robert H. Williams, and is as pictured in The Jewish Utopia. And apparently The Jewish Utopia was a book found in, I believe, a university in Texas. And this author, you got to remember, this author's right. He's analyzing this book, and he's telling you about this book and what's going on in this book. So it's pretty interesting. I thought it was pretty applicable to where we're at today. And so I think where I left off, let's see here. This would probably be a good place to start. So he's writing about this guy, Mr. Higger. He says his first name in the beginning. He was the one that wrote The Jewish Utopia. So again, this author, Robert Williams, is describing what he's reading in this book to you. So that's, just remember that perspective here. And he's got pictures of the, you know, cover page, and, you know, it is apparently a real book. If anybody in this audience ever finds this book, it'd be really nice to confirm what this book says, which I personally believe is, seems to be all true. So anyways, we're picking up on into page 4. A Jewish Utopia begins where Wells leaves off. It starts with the world as the basics for the new social life. From that viewpoint, the rabbis picture the first scheme of a transvaluation of spiritual, intellectual, and material values, and a complete spiritual transformation. Having laid this foundation for a new ideal order, the Jewish idealists proceed with the rest of their plan and complete the superstructure of their utopia. In that part of the structure, there are, to be sure, a few common elements. And again, I'm reading this for the first time also. And the rabbinic and other utopias, as the ideals of common interest and mutual helpfulness, cooperation, supplementing competition in the new social order, the toil of industry being reduced to a minimum, and thus permitting a higher cultural and intellectual life. Obviously, some catastrophic changes in store for the world, isms will destroy nations. An ism has destroyed Russia in our lifetime. Remember, this was written in 57. That is, a secret organization successfully promoted as an ism, as a device for undermining and capturing and then gradually destroying the Russian people, their culture, economy, religion, and already to a greater extent, the best racial stock. From the beginning to end, the Jewish utopia emphasizes that what the rabbis, the Talmud, and the Old Testament were talking about was an earthly regime, not a spiritual one, but an ideal political, racial, economic, and social era from the Jewish viewpoint here on earth. And it is to be a one-world state conforming to a single ideology. I'm quoting the book now. Plato is chiefly concerned with what will hold the ideal city together. The rabbis, on the other hand, are mainly interested in that ideology which would hold the whole world or the universal state together. This concept of the Jewish religion as a conquering ideology, preparing the world for a Jewish-dominated military political state here on earth, is not held by all the rabbis, but it is the Talmudic interpretation, as Utopia shows. The author hints that his paradise will be a socialist order, for it is to begin where Wells leaves off, and H.G. Wells, a socialist, idealized socialism. A socialist regimented world order would kill the spirit, dry up the ambitions, chain the imagination of the highly individualistic Anglo-Saxons and his kinsmen of the world, Western world, and likewise his friends in Asia, the Japanese and the Chinese. Who is to judge? Hegger states that the term righteousness has all but lost its meaning in the modern world, and that the Jewish utopia is built upon the very term of idea or righteousness. The kingdom of God in this world will come only when the suffering mankind passes through the gates of righteousness. This sounds not unlike a Christian Anglo-Saxon or any other utopia. Idealization of righteousness is more or less universal. The Nordic, with his New England conscience, idealizes righteousness and sometimes practices it. But we must ask what standards righteousness is to be judged. The Christian expects God and his own conscience to be judge of righteousness. The Anglo-Saxon, the Negro, the Japanese surely would not want to be judged righteous or unrighteous according to the wishes, ambitions, or whims of a worldly Jewish authority. On the other hand, we could hardly expect adherently pro-Jewish Jews, including Talmudic rabbis, in their paradise to cede power to ardent Christians, individualistic Norsemen who cherish their personal freedom, or the art-loving Mediterraneans who likewise must give vent to creative yearnings and who like a leisurely, unregimented life. Hence, the Jewish requirements are sure to encounter resistance. To understand the rabbinic conception of an ideal world, it would help us if we imagine a hand passing from land to land, from country to country, from the Indian Ocean to the North Pole, marking righteous or wicked on the forehead of each of the 1,600 million inhabitants of our earthly globe. And again, I'm reading this book, so this is what it says. We should then be on the right road towards solving the major problems that burden so heavily the shoulders of suffering humanity. For mankind should be divided into two, and not only two distinct and unmistakable groups, namely righteous and wicked. To the righteous would belong all that which God's wonderful world has offered. To the wicked would be long nothing. In the future, the words of Isaiah in the language of the rabbis would be fulfilled. Behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. This is the force of the prophecy of Malachi, where he said, then ye shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. But who is to direct the hand which marks on your forehead and mine, on the forehead of each of our children and our loved one, righteous or wicked? Who is to say who may own property and who must die of thirst and starvation? Who is to dictate such conformity? Who is to not deny us our right to choose? Notice that Professor Hegger considers that the Jewish prophet Malachi used the term righteousness, a as a reference to the same persons to whom he, Higger, and the nationalistic rabbis would apply it to today. Righteous according to the standard aims and desires of the leaders who build towards a Jewish paradise, a Jewish world order. That is not the Christian interpretation of Malachi and the other prophets. Jews, though they were, the Talmudic interpretation inspires the Jewish flock to believe that the prophets were addressing their appeals to their own people, trying to whip them into unity and consecrate devotion to the building of a Jewish world order. The Talmud tells the Jewish flocks that Moses was their militant conquering hero, and that Mosaic law, which says, "Love thy neighbor," is for the Jews only. It shows the Jewish people are not bound by any moral requirement in dealing with Gentiles. The law of Moses gave unto us as a heritage. It is a heritage for us, not for them. That's from the Sanhedrin 59a. And then there's a little footnote in here. There are two Talmuds, the Babylonian, the Jerusalem or Palestinian Talmud. Any references to the Talmud means the Babylonian Talmud, unless otherwise stated. For the other is rarely used. The Talmud consists of many huge volumes. The English translation of it, for which I have many photostats showing how the Jews are free to deceive and outwit the non-Jews, except where there is a danger of reprisals. Now apparently is available for purchase by libraries and possibly by Gentile individuals. There is also a single volume of considerable size called the Shulchan Aruch, a compilation of excerpts of teachings from the Talmud, which volume is in common use among the rabbis and seems to be available in most big city libraries. So basically stating that any references he'd make it to the Talmud come from the Babylonian Talmud. Ye are called men, but the Goyim, Gentiles, are not men, but beasts. These quotations are translations from the 9-volume German language edition of the Babylonian Talmud in the Library of Commerce, Washington, D.C. Glorified stealth and deception. The Talmud is a many-volume compilation of Jewish history and traditions and the teachings of ancient rabbis. One of its most important elements consists of interpretations of the Law of Moses by rabbis over a period of centuries and legal decisions after legal decision. The quotations above are from different rulings in different cases, whereas the Christian who accepts the Old Testament as either sacred or at least historical thinks of Moses as a great moral leader appealing to all the world. But the Talmudic rabbis consider Moses a great military commander. By their interpretation, Moses kept the children of Israel in the wilderness 40 years so as to discipline his flock, raise up an army, and train it in its goose step. And of course, the Old Testament does say that Moses' soldiers fell on unsuspecting villagers and annihilated them, men, women, and children. The Book of Moses plainly glorifies the slaughter and theft of the land from unsuspecting Gentiles. So read especially the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy for additional examples on how the Jewish adherents should take what they want. And we took all the cities, and we utterly destroyed them, as we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, women, and children of every city. Deuteronomy 3:4-6. Not only Zionism, but communism too acquired much of its hatred of Christians from the spirit of hatred kept alive by rabbis in the ghettos of Europe and Russia, the constant repetition of mine enemies from the old Bible. And ye shall be saved from your enemies, and let thy enemies be scattered. And let them that hate thee flee before thee. The master race concept, the zeal for conquest and self-adulation were kept alive in the ghettos from their interpretation of the Torah. And it shall come to pass that the Lord thy God set thee above all the nations of earth. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people. Deuteronomy 28:9. Read also in Exodus how Moses had his fellow Jews borrow jewelry and other valuables from the Egyptians the day before they slipped out of Egypt. They did not return the valuables. We may sympathize with the racial or tribal pride of the Jewish men in the wilderness when they resented the presence of a non-Jewish woman in the tent of one of their brothers. But the example of bloody fanaticism shown where when they stoned the couple to death because the woman was not Jewish, is a strange example indeed to come from those who cry loudest for brotherhood from us to them, and who are the first to condemn such race pride in non-Jews. Whatever the Christian may think of the intent of Moses, the Talmud teaches the Jews to believe that Moses was talking only to their ancestors, not to the Goyim. When he said, "Love thy neighbor, thou shalt not steal," etc., the Talmud gives adequate cause for the belief among the Jews that Moses was a military leader, keeping the children of Israel in the wilderness the figurative 40 years so as to train them under a brief, rigid Ten Commandments, which thus would be his police code to keep them in hand. By this interpretation, Moses was indeed building an army of conquest. The Talmud thus indicates that when Moses said, "Love thy neighbor and as thyself," he meant love thy Hebrew neighbor, "thou shalt not steal from thy Hebrew neighbor," etc. If this is what many Jews believe, and if the Torah is the core of their religion, very well. It is their privilege to worship as they please, even if they plan thereby to annihilate us. But let us open our eyes and defend ourselves. We must not blame them if we let a small tribal group bring about our destruction. By the Encyclopedia Britannica, page 771, volume 21, and 1949 edition, says the Talmud is still the authoritative and practical guide of the great mass of the Jews. Is still not all the rabbis accept the Talmud, which is glorification of secrecy and cunning and its inclination to bloodletting and conquest. Rabbi Elmer Berger, for instance, repudiates both the Talmud and the Torah in his partisan history of Judaism. He attacks the Book of Moses as an expression of nationalistic fanaticism, only partially based on historical fact. He shows that modern Zionism springs from this ancient Zionism. Yep, they're pretty clever at that. Uses exoteric terms. Mr. Higger leaves no doubt of his meaning in using the word righteousness. The word as here used as a Kabbalistic esoteric term. The whole substance of the text shows that the righteous are those nations and individuals who work with and for the Zionist world program. The author even explains some of his key words by direct definition. For instance, quote, at the outset, it should be pointed out that only the terms redemption and salvation have a radically different connotation for which they have. In Christian theology, sorry, I had to change pages there. In Christian theology, the Jewish redemption stands for the physical liberation and freedom of Israel. For the people of Israel will attain the highest of their spiritual functions and potentialities only through their attainment of material freedom and liberty. Redemption, then, for the Zionist has nothing to do with the redemption from sin, nothing to do with his personal relationship with God and the hereafter. It refers to a political, military, and geographical accomplishment in the setting up of the State of Israel and the liberation and freedom of the Jews. The terms liberation and freedom, as used by Zionists, likewise, are constantly misinterpreted by Gentiles, as is the Jewish term persecution. The study of Jewish revolutions in many countries shows that the word persecution is almost universally used to mean prosecution. Even those Jewish writers who tell in detail about Jewish revolutionary and seditious activities against the government of their host country brand any punishment of the guilty Jews by courts of the land as persecution. Notice that in the three-volume History of the Jews in Russia and Poland by Simon Dubinow, one of the foremost Jewish historians, though Dubinow relates with pride many of the subversive, violent movements launched by the Jews, he always brands their punishment as persecution. Similarly, the Jews press and planted articles in the general press in America during the trials of Jewish communist officials in Russia, Poland, and Hungary during the past few years, and have treated the trials as persecution rather than prosecution, and the courts of Stalin were anti-Semitic. Stalin lived with Rosa Kazhnikov, sister of his close friend, Jewish Deputy Premier Lazar Kazhnikov, though there seems to be no record of any marriage. All the treasures and national resources of the world will eventually come in the possession of the righteous. The world, this would be in keeping with the prophecy of Isaiah, and her gain and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid upon, for her gain shall be for them and dwelt before the Lord, to eat their fill for the stately clothing. Similarly, the treasures of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, and valuable vessels that have been lost in the seas and oceans in the course of centuries will be raised up and turned over to the righteous. In the present era, the wicked are extraordinarily rich, having many comforts of life, while the righteous are poor, missing the joys of life. But in the ideal era, the Lord will open all the treasures for the upright, and the unrighteous will suffer. God, the creator of the world, will be happy, so to speak, only in the era to come, when the world will be governed by the doings and actions of the upright. Now we are beginning to catch broad panoramas of the Zionist utopia, the ultimate world order, as longed for by Professor Higger and the principal rabbinical teachers of 2,500 years. Ye shall be hungry, unless you are among the righteous. All the treasures and natural resources of the world will eventually come in possession of the righteous. Since only the righteous shall own property, and all the rest of us shall in fact perish, it is important to know who are to be judged righteous and who unrighteous. Which of us are to be among the chosen, enjoying the kingdoms of God here on earth? And which of us are to be among the hundreds of millions of human beings denied even food and water? In general, the peoples of the world would be divided into two main groups, the Israelite and the non-Israelite. The former will be righteous. They will live in accordance with the wishes of one universal God. They will be thirsty for knowledge and willing, even to the point of martyrdom, to spread ethical truths to the world. And all other people, on the other hand, will be known for their detestable practices, idolatry, and similar acts of wickedness. They will be destroyed and will disappear from the earth before their ushering in of the ideal era. All of these unrighteous nations will be called to judgment before they are punished and doomed. They serve sentence of their doom will be pronounced upon them only after they have been given a fair trial, when it will have become evident that their existence would hinder the advent of the ideal era. Thus, at the coming of the Messiah, when all righteous nations will pay homage to the ideal righteous leader and offer gifts to him, the wicked and corrupt nations, by realizing their approach of their doom, will bring similar presents to the Messiah. Their gifts and pretend acknowledgments of the new era will be bluntly rejected. For the really wicked nations, like the wicked individuals, must disappear from the earth before any ideal human society of righteous nations can be established. So let me just read this last sentence and we'll wrap this one up. That makes it clear now that we have that unless the United States as a nation joins wholly in fact and in spirit in the Israel Zionist movement to promote the new social order, our nation is doomed. If the Zionists win, the Zionists call the process of liquidating opposition social surgery. We'll leave it there. The next chapter is called Plans for Armageddon. So just to recap, we're going to just read a couple minutes of this book every start of every show. And at the end of the book, it's only about 77 pages, I believe. At the end of the book, we'll have a nice general discussion about this book. But again, you guys can find it on the links and on archive.org. It's called The Ultimate World Order as Pictured in the Jewish Utopia by Robert H. Williams. So I think you should all check it out. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing a couple names correctly. My apologies. I think it's a pretty interesting book, pretty telling where we're at today. Curious to see what it concludes in the end. And probably it'll line up pretty close to what we're seeing modern days. So it's an interesting book so far. I'm glad my friend turned me on to it, actually. So anyways, got a bunch of other articles to read with you guys. I didn't have a lot of time for prayer, so the last hour we'll take callers. So hopefully you guys want to call in and give me your thoughts and comments when we come back from the commercial break. Whenever that comes up, we're going to talk about some geoengineering and weather modification patents. Just some oddball topics I want to cover real quick, get them out of the way. Write this number down if you want to call in, 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252. Give me a call. Let me know your thoughts. I'm particularly interested in what you guys are seeing in the weather today. I've heard a lot of people talking about how the weather forecasts are completely off. It'll show rain when it's completely sunny. It'll show that it's 10 degrees cooler or warmer than it actually is. I've been hearing a lot of people talking about that lately. Strange weather patterns. Seasons seem to start later. Just unseasonable weather. Just oddities. I know in the place I live, I've definitely noticed some oddities in the weather. So, you guys got any comments on that? I'd like to hear about that. So, anyways, I was doing a little research, kind of thinking about what to talk about tonight. And I pulled up one of my old articles from my website from a while ago. And it is a list of patents involving weather modification. And it's been a while since I typed these in and cross-checked them. But it was pretty interesting. If I type these into Google with the patent number I have listed, and you can find my website on the link on RBN. My website's foundationfordisinfestation.com. Anyways, it's an older article. Find it in the archives. Tell you, it was posted in November 2018. Anyways, I found this list somewhere online and just copied it in and added some in that I knew about. And I'm just going to read some of the titles of the patents and the year they were patented. And then I did a little dig on some of these to see if they actually existed. And again, the weird thing was I wasn't able to pull them up on Google's patent search, but I was able to pull them up on Justia patent search. So I thought that was kind of interesting. It's been a couple years since I've looked some of these up, so I couldn't remember if I was pulling these up through Google back then or not. But I do know Google has been messing with the algorithms of a lot of searches. And we could talk about that more after the break. That's some pretty funny ones. All right, guys, we'll take this break. We'll be right back. Hang with me here.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, yeah, we just left it off with some, we're talking about some geoengineering, weather modification patterns. And the reason I wanted to go into this briefly and talk about this, because I really feel that the parasite is going to start locking us down with the climate a lot more. They're going to use this, you know, hot summer as, oh my gosh, we're all dying, we're going to melt, global warming. You know, you can see it now. You can see it in the mainstream media. And I just wanted to take a brief backtrack into history about what they've been doing and what's been going on, in my opinion. They've been messing with this weather for a long time. The Air Force is on record saying they'll own the weather by 2025. And they said that in 2015. I think they're a couple years ahead of schedule. But anyways, that's up for debate. But anyways, maybe once you hear some of these patents and see that, you know, some of this stuff has been figured out a long time ago, you'll start considering what I'm saying with the weather modification. But also, the other reason I really wanted to bring this up is because I feel that 5G is also connected into this. And I'll probably get into this a little later, but the 5G could be actually helping to heat up areas where it's not necessarily heating it up, but it's creating a little heat island. And they're using quite a bit of energy. You know, that whole misnomer that they use less energy and blah, 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 that's a misnomer. And I'll get into a paper a little later on that. But briefly, I'm just going to read you some of these titles and dates of these patents. And the first one I have listed here is method of producing rainfall. This was patented July 16th of 1891. August 6th, 1913, rainmaker. September 4th, 1915, protecting from poisonous gas and warfare. April 27th, 1920, process and apparatus for the production of intense artificial clouds, fogs, and mists. Again, that was 1920. 1927, process of producing smoke clouds for moving aircraft. 1928, process of producing artificial fogs. Of 1932, atomizing attachment for airplane engine exhausts. Atomizing attachment for airplane engine exhausts. That was in 1932. Electrical and system method, airplane spray equipment. That was 1934. I'm skipping some of the ones that aren't as applicable. Process for controlling weather, 1951. Material disseminating apparatus for airplanes, 1952. Metal chloride screening, smoke mixture. That was 1952. I mean, there's probably 100 here. So this is a topic that they've obviously been looking into for quite some time. Cloud seeding carbon dioxide bullet, 1960. Silver iodide cloud seeding generator, 1964. Another one from 64. Generation of ice nucleating crystals, 1964. Electrostatic mixing and microbial conversions, 65. Self-focusing antenna system. Electrically heated smoke producing device. I mean, this goes on and on. Cloud seeding apparatus in 67. 67, fluidized particle dispenser. So you can see they've been playing around with this for a while. Again, I'm skipping half a dozen here. 1972, solar temperature inversion device. Device for clearing impurities from the atmosphere. Oh, maybe they should employ that one. 1973. Pyrotechnic composition for generating lead-based smoke. Sounds delicious. powder contrail generation. That's one I should look up. That was August 12th, 1975. Method for fog dispersion. Broadcast dissemination of trace quantities of biologically active chemicals. So you heard that right. Broadcast dissemination of trace quantities of biologically active chemicals. That was in November of 1967. Excuse me, 76. Liquid propane generator for cloud seeding apparatus. Method and apparatus for modification of climate conditions. Here's one. Hart patent. Esslin patent. Method for apparatus for altering a region of the Earth's atmosphere, ionosphere, and or magnetosphere. So, if you're familiar with HAARP, the High Altitude Aurora Research Project, up there in, I think it's Kalkona, Alaska, that's basically an atmospheric heater. They put in a bunch of watts of power, and they heat up the atmosphere, and who knows what they're able to do by doing this. They heat it up in one spot. They could move it. They could direct stuff. By the way, HAARP's not the only one, the one in Alaska. They've got probably 20, 30, 50 of these. Who knows? Heard they've had some that are floating platforms on the sea. Nobody could talk about climate change without addressing the fact that the military-industrial complex has been involved in manipulating our weather for quite some time now. Nobody can talk about climate change if they can't actively talk about the sun as being the primary driver of Earth's climate. So most of the listeners here are going to know where these climate change discussions are taking us. They're taking us to a total technocratic dictatorship, a total control network. But the average person can't see it. The average person still believes the government's out to help them. The average person went out there and took untested, quote-unquote, vaccine that was free. I just, you know, I was asking people at the time when they're doing this, like, what in this world is free? And you're going to go get it. You're freed, free vaccine. Okay. Anyways, you know, I think this stuff all ties in. I really do. I really think this climate change narrative, the collapsing economy, the vaccine coronavirus narrative, it's all tied in to keep us occupied and keep the pressure on and pushing us into where they want us. And they've almost got us in a corner. Because I see so few people are on, like, the same page of being able to understand these operations, these huge psychological operations that are pulling on us. So I put this article together. Again, I found it somewhere else. I just copied most of it. There's a couple I added in here. Just to send people to that, like, really? You don't believe this is happening? Look at all this stuff in your face about it. Go read the patents. There's a couple I pulled up here. Method to hinder the formation and breakup overhead atmospheric inversions, enhance ground level air circulation, and improve urban air quality. So this was actually listed on Justia Patents by just typing in that patent number that I have listed. And I'm just going to read you the background real quick. In many of the world's major countries, major cities, atmospheric thermal inversions frequently trap air pollutants near the ground level, resulting in poor ground level air quality. There are no known practical means to address this immediate problem and alleviate poor air quality due to atmospheric inversions in large cities. So basically, they figured out a way to end them or stop them or change them around or maybe create them. Here's one of the other ones I opened. Weather modification by artificial satellites. April 28th, 1998. Satellite weather modification system uses Earth satellites to harness solar energy to modify the thermodynamics and composition of the Earth's atmosphere. Wonderful. Solar energy system with relay satellite, 1977. So this is a system for beaming solar energy from space to an Earth location and putting it to useful work either as heat or light energy, or by converting it into some other form of energy such as steam or electrical power. So, you know, and I realize some of these, you know, might be kind of far-fetched and it's just a patent application. You know, somebody actually went through and patented that. So maybe this one's not as practical. But, you know, I've talked to many, many older people that have, I've asked straight up, and they were clear in the head. Like, do you remember seeing these plain markings left from horizon to horizon and spreading out like they do? And many of them said no. In fact, most of them said no. Although I did remember quite a few boomers that said, yes, I used to see those all the time as a kid, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't believe them, honestly. I really don't. I don't believe what they're saying. Because I went through my old family photo albums and looked at every single picture. My aunt and my grandma took lots of pictures. And I looked at every picture, and I did not see the same skies that we see today. One of my aunts even had video from the 60s driving over the Golden Gate Bridge with bright blue skies, dark blue skies. I mean, there was a few cars on the Golden Gate Bridge. That tells you how long ago it was. But you just didn't see what we're seeing today in the skies. Here's another one. Millimeter wave screening, cloud, and method. Millimeter wave screening, cloud, and method. So, millimeter wave screening cloud is formed, comprised of aerosol by fine fibers of a carbon composition in which the particles are often of micron diameter and millimeter length. The cloud is formed by aerosolizing a compact mass of carbon composition fibers through the action of explosively bursting such compact mass in the atmosphere at the desired cloud location. So again, the reason I really want to bring this up is because now, you know, the globalist parasite has been actively talking about injecting aerosols into the atmosphere to, quote-unquote, dim the sun, to block the solar radiation. And without any tests of the harmfulness of on this of life, on the oceans and the earth, of people, they just decide that that's what we need to do, and that's where the science is taking us, and that's what we're going to do. And I really think we need to put the brakes on this. You and I could probably agree on this. The brakes need to be put on this stuff, and we need an honest talk about what they're doing in the skies and how the military-industrial complex is always behind this kind of nefarious program, especially something like this. There's another one, method of suppressing formation of contrails and solution thereof. Solution for suppressing the formation of contrails from the exhaust of an engine, including by weight, non-corrosive surfactant. So, you know, again, I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of details on this. You guys can go on my website, look at these patents, pull up the patent number, take it over to justia.com, patents.justia.com, and take a look. Or you can just type in weather modification, see what pops up. Apparatus and method for ejecting matter from an aircraft. A fluid ejector for discharging gases and fluids from an aircraft. The fluid ejector is fastened to an exterior surface of the aircraft and includes an air turbine, which is spaced apart from the exterior surface of the aircraft by a mass. Unwanted fluids and gases are evacuated from the aircraft through a conduit located inside the drain mass and are expelled from an outlet located on the side of the air tube. In this manner, the liquid or gases present at the outlet are discharged in a rearward direction away from the downstream portion of the aircraft by the airstream through the tube. Now, again, I could see there is a need for certain aircraft to, you know, jettison fuel at a certain times. But, again, the evidence lines up. There's countless pictures of tanks inside planes, chemical tanks inside these planes. And I remember having these discussions way back, and people would say, well, those are just ballasts for the plane, and they need to test the weight of the plane, the loadout. And, yeah, I get it, dude. I mean, I get they need to test that, but do you need a complicated system that's interconnected by these pipes and all this electronic wiring to test the simple weight ratio of this plane? I mean, really? I mean, don't they have computer models that they plug all this stuff in and can see how this plane can fly without actually even flying the plane? And then they design it off that, then they produce a prototype and, you know, throw in a couple burlap bags to simulate some weight of a passenger. I mean, generally speaking, you don't have that many people getting up, shifting around in an airplane. The whole ballast idea was pretty much nonsense, in my opinion. It was put out by the man to try to discredit anybody talking about this. So, anyways, I wanted to know your thoughts on this stuff. There's ample evidence in my mind that this is going on. This has been happening for a long time. I would say since probably the mid-90s, it really started ramping up. They were probably doing it beforehand. But in my recollection, in the 80s, when I grew up as a kid, I do not remember seeing these plane contrails or chemtrails, whatever you want to call them, being laid across the sky like that. Only in the mid-90s did I start noticing them, and I was, at the time, pretty preoccupied. I didn't think much of it. In fact, I heard about it, and I thought, oh, whatever, you're just, you know, blah, blah, blah. Until I actually took some time on my own many years later and looked at it and went, wow. You know, I was the idiot for criticizing that thought, you know? So I just try to encourage people nowadays to have an open mind and, you know, we've been lied to in so many different ways. We found out so many different things have been a complete fabrication that anything's possible in my mind. So, I want to know your thoughts on this. I've been deeply concerned about the weather lately just because, you know, I can see where they're messing with this. I can see where they're messing with people's heads. You know, what's that? Seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm all right. Got a cat. Go to break. Right back, guys.
But that train keeps a rolling on down to San Antone.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Kind old King George sent Mother a note when he heard that Father was gone. It was, I recall, in the form of a scroll with gold leaf and all. And I found it one day in a drawer of old photographs hidden away. And my eyes still grow damp to remember His Majesty signed in his own rubber stamp.
It was dark all around, there was frost in the ground when the tigers broke free. And no one survived from the Royal Fusiliers Company C. They were all left behind, most of them dead, the rest of them dying. And that's how took my daddy from me.
Right. Back. That was Pink Floyd there from The Final Cut. Probably one of the most underrated Pink Floyd albums out there. Anyways, gonna wrap it up real quick. After the next break, we'll take callers. You guys want to call in, 512-248-8252. Where I was going with this 5G, I'm going to read you a couple things from this article here. It's from globalresearch.ca. 5G, fifth generation 5G directed energy radiation emissions in the context of contaminated nanometal COVID-19 vaccines with graphite ferrous oxide antennas. This guy claims to be an expert. He was an inventor. He's a patent writer, weapons researcher, scientist, whatever. And he's kind of at least come clean, in my opinion, on these risks of 5G. You should check out this article yourself. It's a pretty lengthy article, so there's no way I could read this all to you now. But basically, this 5G is an urban radar. And it just recently came out that they're able to really to map out your house from the way this 5G beams the signal back to itself. And they're able to see in your house in real time, 3D through the walls of what you're doing. And so it kind of fits in line with this whole the COVID lockdown. I distinctly remember, you know, in the middle of this lockdown, you know, everybody's supposed to stay home. Everybody's supposed to be careful and you know, think about grandma. But yet I witnessed these guys putting up a 5G tower right outside of an elementary school. And I even was driving through there and I asked the guy, hey, what are you guys putting up? And, you know, told me a 5G tower and I made some sort of smart ass comment. And, you know, this kid made another smart ass comment. Anyways, I just left. But the point is, like, these guys were still out there just deploying this stuff when everybody else was supposed to be locked down for, you know, grandma's safety. But 5G was being rolled out right on time. So I really do think that this 5G is some sort of weapon. And I think that more people should be aware of this and you know, trying to resist it. Is this not a good thing? Yes, I fear tomorrow I'll be crying. Yes, I fear tomorrow I'll be crying.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button. Like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? What are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Truth, truth,